something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's the return of What's That? The TV Catchphrase Edition.
Jonathan has some issues with Bob Gainey showing up.
And remember Laserdiscs? Because I don't. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hello.
Got my Bob Gainey sorted, bud.
Yeah, you're a little crispy
last
week. She's
a little crunchy last week.
Now you're all set. You're back in the seat.
Well,
back in the saddle.
So here's what happens. I need a dongle to get from my mic to my laptop, but it's the same dongle that I need to get from the cord to watch TV on, like, stream onto the TV. You know what I'm saying?
So you move around with it, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you wake up, and who's next to you? Bob Gainey.
Bob Gainey.
And he's right. He's in your bed
just
saying good morning.
Up. So last week was like Bugs Bunny style or Donald Duck.
You're like, wait a second, and then you're in the bathroom, and who's on the toilet in the bathroom with you?
Yeah.
Bob Gainey.
So I turned Bob Gainey way down. He's in the penalty box. He's on a timeout.
But he somehow shows up again. So you got to, like, put some tape on the knob or whatever.
I know. Well, right where you grab the mic is where Bob Gainey is. So your thumb can just crank him up.
And that's how he gets back into the vortex, the portal there. By everything he knows, that's a way to get back through Bob Gainey.
Running around trying to grab stuff to get out to my shed to knock out a potty. So I'm grabbing him.
And you come back in and who's cooking in your kitchen on the cast iron pan?
Bob Gainey. Do you know where he is? Under my thumb. Every time I'm running with the mic, he's under my thumb.
Yeah. So do one where you actually run out to the barn and then you come back and Bob Gainey's like on the slayers.
Yeah. He follows me everywhere. Hey, I'm just going to go out.
He's riding your horse in the barn.
He shows up everywhere, man. So last week was Crunch City, but this week I should be in Silky Village. We crossed the choppy waters of gaininess, and now we're in Silk Harbor.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Bob
good
Gainey.
Start to the pod with the Bob Gainey.
Yeah, I had to turn down the Bob Gainey. It's Easter weekend, bud.
Yeah.
Easter miracle that we are... gathering for this hour-long celebration of all that is new and fun.
Yeah, and the kids, your girls are still probably fired up, whereas mine are now more like less fired up for the Easter Bunny, but we're gonna, this might, you know, John's 18 now, so it's like, we'll still do it, but he's like getting up and kind of walking around and
He's fired up about getting to sleep in.
Picking up the... No, like, he's doing the egg hunt, right? But he's, like, carrying the basket all chill, walking around, yeah. Picking up...
His Bob Gainey's turned way down.
Yeah, it's not like the buzz isn't there of the running when they're kids, and it's more just, like, collecting some chocolates.
I just remember my eyes hurting, like, Christmas morning and Easter, like, the big... fence post holidays when the kids are little.
Yeah.
You know, things get going at, you know, might start at 5 something.
As soon as they can wake up and realize they're awake. Yeah.
So it's less like that these days, but still we're fired up for sure.
No 5:30, but not like 1 p.m. Like, that's not...
Well, are you guys oneers?
No, not at all. They're up. They'll start ripping it at 10, though. Like, it's not 7, 8 o'clock as soon as they get up, but now it's more like 10 o'clock.
What time are you shutting her down at night?
Well, I'm shutting her down, like, around midnight. And but the kids want to stay up all the time. On the weekends, they stay up late, man, like 5 o'clock.
No.
yeah, John stays up late because he has friends that are in, like, Europe online.
So staying up playing games?
Yeah, like one of his best buddies is in Poland.
Wow.
So he'll be like chatting, and that for them it's just in the morning or whatever. And John's like, was super late. So it's interesting. Yeah,
they've met on the internet.
Yeah, they. I think he has a few friends that have he's been known for years through certain games. On Roblox or something when he was a kid. I'm not sure if that's true fully because he's like, remember he used to help make games and
yeah.
had a groups of people to make games and stuff. That I think it's that community anyway.
How cool is that?
It's awesome, but yeah. So but that's the thing. They're all kind of scattered around the world and they're up all the time sometimes. But Jack likes to stay up and chat with his friends and. Annalise loves to watch, you know, watch TV and listen to music late. So on the weekends, we try to stay up as late as we can, but eventually we tap out.
Have they, like, has John ever talked to his friends on FaceTime or like, do they ever switch platforms or it's all within the confines of the game and headsets and that stuff?
Maybe on Discord or one of those ways that they talk.
Man, there's a new one every week, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there's,
like,
well,
yo, bro, are you on Slice? What? What yeah. even is that?
I know. This stuff makes me feel like I'm 1,000 years old.
I know. I was thinking about you yesterday because I remember you saying that sometimes the humor you just don't get. And I had never experienced that until very recently where...
Oh, yeah.
It's just a different frequency.
Yeah, see? Yeah, jokes where you're like, what do you mean? Why are you laughing? And they're like, that's so funny. And
it's I know. Like, it's really I have cool.
No, it's cool, but it's kind of like, okay, this is the stuff. This is what our parents were talking yeah, about. This like is the I, shit where they're, where they're like, it, I don't get you.
How much you do... Just seen a couple of shades of that in recent months.
Yeah. No, it's there's a whole and there's now there's like there's music that I can't listen to and don't understand for sure.
Like what? The stuff.
Well, there's like computer music, right? Like literally, like music that's made. On computers for like games or there's like a whole genres of music that are like digital kind of music. And so some of it's just very simple. Some of it's wacky and just the actual sonic value harms my ears. But then there's this like mashup stuff, the pop where it's just like a DJ beat and they just go two bars of from Alanis into Bob Dylan, right? That shit, really, it's like, I don't know, it's like being at a resort in a time machine or something.
And they're playing Cotton Eye Joe on, well, no worse, yes, they're playing yeah. four bars of Cotton Eye Joe.
Into, like, Hurt with Johnny Cash.
So is that like, is that a mix you were playing the clarinet?
Today, into like, I would walk 500.
Whoa.
Like, it's, have you not heard this stuff?
No, and it's attention span radio.
Yeah, it's like full on skip the record jams, but the beat's always the same.
Jolts per minute FM.
Like I heard it on a golf course. Heard it on a golf course with Tim for the first time, like he at his golf course, and it was with some kids that were members there. And I'm like, "Yeah, this music, what's up with that?" And he's like, "Yeah, I don't know. It's a thing, though." And now I'm hearing it all the time, and it just blows my mind.
What is it called?
I don't want to know. I don't know.
Like it doesn't have a name. Mashup. It's not a, yeah.
Okay. I think it's just mashup music.
You know, I don't know
mashed
how...
potatoes. It's mashed. Like the same as the kid that's like goes to the soda fountain and just goes through all of them the same. Like, into the...
Blue raspberry slush with root beer on top.
Yeah, hitting the Fruitopias even, right?
Well, like frozen yogurt, I like to start with a plain base and then party with the toppings. But if you start with a crazy base and then add toppings, it just doesn't jive.
Yeah, that's like putting cereal, like milk before the cereal.
This is, I guess some people do that too, don't they?
Well, it's wrong and it makes a big mistake. That's a big mistake.
I don't understand how algorithms work on the internet. But
well,
these are the videos that I get served. Yacht accidents, minor hockey brawls, and line dancing. Over and over and over again. What is it about me that they're like, well, he'd probably like to see yacht accidents. Like, okay, so I watched a couple. But is that why they keep sending me yacht accidents?
All of a sudden, you just like see some line dancing, and then it's like, holy fuck, Mark, we're going in. Like, right, every time. Stern, the fucking stern.
Like... $800,000 yacht trying to get back on a trailer. People will take lawn chairs down to the launch and watch it for the day.
The guy with the driving the ATV under the back of the truck and over.
Yeah, those guys. I don't mind that stuff. I won't lie.
the skidoo going up the back and right off.
I like the millionaire with a huge barrel with a short sleeve collared shirt open, standing on the dive platform, yelling at the guy on the dock. Like those, like boat fights. Yeah. It's such a weird subgenre.
Yeah, like when you see like the guy who's like the older, out of shape dude who's like talking shit and then all of a sudden loses like his footing.
Yeah.
And like falls like a toy off the side.
He's like trying to get the guy with the 16-foot aluminum fishing boat to move from the expensive slip. There's something about nautical yelling that's really fun.
So you just stirred it up, so you're gonna get it crazy now.
So do you think by me saying yacht
like
accidents out probably. Loud, my phone's like, yes, all right, I heard him say that.
It they're gonna ramp it up a little bit, as opposed to on X, where it's like, have you seen now? Like if you look at a popular funny tweet or whatever, and the replies are just heinous, like. Or it's like they'll show some guy fall off a cliff and he'd die. And then like all the replies are just like the same thing, like bunch of murders. Or someone says a joke and then the replies are actually pornography, like crazy hardcore pornography.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like,
What the hell's going on when you just bought the place and it's just become like Times Square in 1978.
I mean, this Diddy stuff.
Oh man, what is going on?
This Diddy stuff on X. Like the first of all, people are so. I don't know if you watched the documentary about Nickelodeon.
I've seen some clips
and
about
Dan,
it.
The creator.
Yeah, is that the guy that Math from head of the class, the guy in the back.
Yes, I didn't put that together. It's the same dude.
God, I was like, is that guy that she always had the awful or the cheesy comments in the back of the room with the never moving his body?
Yes. So here's the weird thing. I mean, it's heinous that these kids were subjected to gross working conditions and. If you believe what you read, it sounds like there was abuse and all the gross things that you might expect. Here's the weird thing. if you look at YTV and people getting slimed and all that stuff, there was a movement in the 90s children's television where there was lots of goo and people getting stuff thrown at them. And like that was sort of a thing. So
yeah.
it's interesting in hindsight now, knowing what was actually going on behind the scenes, to see some of these clips from some of these shows, like all that, that seen through that lens, it is like, oh my God, that was really offside or inappropriate. But I also see why at the time it wasn't necessarily jarring or red flags. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I know.
Like someone getting goo on them in broad strokes happened a lot on TV in the 90s. But when you know what this guy was also into, it's obviously especially gross and hard to watch. But
oh, man.
Man. Just at every turn, like, he hired two female writers and they made them split one salary.
Oh, my God. Like, just dirtballs. Total dirtballs.
Dirtballs. And really heinous.
It was like, it seems like the Wild West of dirtballs.
Well, so right? The reason I made that leap is because yesterday someone posted a clip of Diddy on one of Dan Snyder's shows. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they're like, let's ask Diddy what to do about how to wake up our friend after putting goo on his face didn't work. And Diddy's like, take a toy helicopter and put it down his pants. Which,
what?
Through the lens of what's happening at this very moment to both of them, is like, what?
Creeps.
Like, why would that
salads?
Why would that joke ever be funny in any context, but especially kind of chilling to see now? But man, if you start to pull on that thread at all, this is quite a story.
Yeah, it's kind of, and Diddy's like the new version of OJ and the Bronco, except the Bronco's this private jet jetting around.
So is that true? Like, it's hard. Also, I don't hard even to know. Separate what's true from what isn't. Is he on the lam?
I don't know. I thought I saw a photo of him talking to the feds.
Oh, really?
When they took in the drug mule kid.
See,
so I think he was there. So I don't know whether he's in custody and they're just questioning him with all this, or he is actually out on the lam. I'm not sure.
It's really hard to know because someone posted a picture of the Baltimore Bridge thing, which is also just inconceivable. And they posted a picture of a car in water beside it. And someone commented underneath, no, that's from an Ireland flood.
Really?
Yeah, like the car had nothing to do with the Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, no. And then people saying it's terrorism is ridiculous. That's so I mean, they actually saved hundreds of lives because they stopped all cars from getting on the bridge. It was only construction people that were on the bridge at the time of the collapse. So
it was being worked on.
There was a mayday from the Port Authority that was happened as soon as the first power outage happened with the ship, so that they were well informed to try and do everything that they could to stop people from being on the actual bridge. Yet there were people repairing potholes on the bridge, and that's for the people that were that were on it. Yeah, so they saved a lot of people's lives.
It's and so
not you know bananas. Terrorism is the last thing which should be on people's minds for that.
It also, like, you realize, this is stating the obvious, but when we were kids, Peter Jennings and Dan Rather and Peter Mansbridge said something on the news, and that was true. But now, there are so many sources of news, in quotes, and even the traditional news organizations are in a rush to get the story first, that they're putting out stuff that isn't true from like sources and quotes that aren't actual credible sources.
Yeah. Well, you know what it seems like to me? It's like, remember when you watch debates with political leaders and even in the 70s or 80s growing up, like it was always that deflection and, just you, but you're doing this. Like, that was the only time you saw, like, fogging a story, spinning a story, that whole concept of just bullshitting back and forth. And that concept has got really just been put into the news as well. Hmm. So every major news outlet, it plays to that to some extent, whether it's, you know, whatever outlet. Sometimes they go all the way to one side, and sometimes where it's like, we're just going to be a blowhorn for the right, or even CNN, or the ones that seemingly are more in the center, but they still cater seemingly to the left as well. But they both all cater to spinning the story so people will talk about it more than just reporting the actual facts and moving on.
But let's assume for a moment that it's true what is being speculated, that Diddy has incriminating videos on some of your favorite athletes, politicians, and actors and musicians.
Yeah.
That is so huge. Like, the kind of suggestion is that what he does is throws these crazy parties, plies everyone with drugs, and when they do things that they're not even maybe aware they're doing,
he's watching.
He's watching and recording videos, and then when they're like, yeah, I don't want to sign the 5-year contract, he's like, really? Pop in the tape. Let's watch what you did last night.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Like, is that... It seems so sinister and heinous.
Well,
is it
that's what Hugh Hefner did back in the day, right? Everything had cameras, and if like all of those guys and buddies and people involved with either, if they're not, you know, getting caught pounding, they're doing drugs or whatever else, right? Like, it's this private bedrooms with cameras rolling. It's like, I'm sure that's what, Putin probably first time Trump came over there, he's like, here's a hotel room and a bunch of party peoples, go do your thing.
You see some of those
cameras roll right away. It's like, oh, by the way, you don't have to negotiate this at all. We're going to give you this and you're ours now.
You see some of those clips of like Usher was sent by L.A. Reid to Diddy Flavor Camp as a teenager for a month to learn how to live in a lavish lifestyle.
So he was watching people fornicating in front of his eyes when he's 13 years old.
Do you think? Well,
he said on Howard Stern, he was like, saw stuff that I didn't understand all around me. And he also said that, Howard said, would you let your kid go there? And he said, hell no. So... obvious. Justin Bieber too was, when he was like 15, was subject to this, you know, these 48-hour weekends and stuff. Like, the hell's that about? Like, just grease salad sandwiches.
Grease salad sandwich. yikes. Like,
just the worst.
I guess the reason I was saying that, like, let's imagine he is that level of a monster. If you do horrible stuff like that, you must in the back of your mind, low-key, have a constant nagging feeling that the jig is going to be up at some point, you're going to get caught at some point. How do you ever have a good sleep for the rest of your life?
You know why? Because these guys know people that have been doing that their whole lives, this stuff. The Epsteins and the whatever... people that were getting away with these gross parties and resorts and private situations, they did it their whole life. So he's probably figuring nobody knows anyway. Look at all the stuff that all these people that no one knows about are doing.
Or he thinks he's above the law, which may also be true.
Yeah, but he also is like, it really... this stuff is as heinous as it is. Once you start to try and put facts together and put a case together, it's really hard to prove all this stuff, right? With human trafficking and all that, imagine all the work that has to be done to prove all these things. And you're seeing it with the Epstein stuff. Like, you haven't seen anybody fall yet, really.
The video tapes should be helpful.
I don't know.
This is what I don't understand, though.
I don't know if they can use it.
Like, he had... Anyway, I guess hopefully the facts will come out. Hopefully he will be persecuted in the most harsh possible way if any of this stuff is true, which it certainly seems like some of it at least must be. But why is that your bag? Like, you have so much money. You have nice homes. You don't have to work again. Why? That's so dark.
I think that's his trip. Like, sometimes people have disgusting serial killers, man.
Yes, it's true. But here's a very naive question. Is he gay and he can't live as a gay man, so he has to concoct this whole world in which he's not really gay, but he's just kind of does this stuff?
He's a grease salad sandwich, so he does every kind of sexual deviant act he can think of in his mind. I don't think he's anything other than that. Like, he's just a seemingly disgusting human being, and sometimes these people, they don't tie into anything other than just being, like, overtly, like, sadistic creeps, like Caligula vibes in the bedroom.
Someone much smarter than me or who knows a lot more about psychology would probably be able to guess as to the why. But typically it probably has something to do with his childhood, right?
It has to, but also, like, there's just something off.
I guess.
Like, look at Michael Jackson had a crazy childhood too, seemingly. I don't know if that's to blame for whatever behavior that, again, still to this day, hasn't been completely proven, but there's been enough hearsay to be like, listen, the guy, there's something wrong with this.
So was he born that, or did he become that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't. How could you explain that without being that way, right?
That's the thing.
Kind of have to be that to understand why. I don't know.
Well, that's
why there's documentary series everywhere on every streaming service talking about people that are like this.
And I assume if you're going to do that stuff, you have to find a way to compartmentalize entitlement to it or why it's okay.
People want to know, try and figure out why. People want to know why people think the earth is flat. They want to know why people think that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't care either way. They just want to know why they think these things. So when you question that, it seems to me that's a conversation that would never end.
It's just their scene, man. It's just what they're into.
I know, right? But being into the question part is takes a long time out of your life, is all.
It sure does, and it's important to be aware of what's going on in the world, but it's also important to kind of protect yourself from going down this Diddy rabbit hole where you're suddenly watching MSNBC to see if his jet is landing in Boca Raton. Like,
And like the other thing problem is, like, someone, if you want to learn about science or if you want to learn about a specific thing, whatever it is, like, the more you learn about whatever science you want to learn, you can find out what exact region of science you're talking about. And then you can actually take a class or go to course or whatever and learn that science. For real. You can learn it, man. You can take the courses and learn the shit out of that stuff instead of, like, going to YouTube and watching an hour or two videos and thinking you've got it figured out.
On Gilmore Girls last night, it's Rory's first day at Yale. And in the first week, they call it shopping week because you can take every class that you want and then decide which classes you want to take further. That sounded incredible to me.
Yeah, right?
Shopping week. What a great idea. I've always thought now would be a great time to go to university when you're old enough to genuinely know what you're interested in and take it seriously. Instead of well, playing some, find the spoon and where's the egg?
Well, some kids actually, and I think my kids seems like they have it, the concept of what they want to do more than I did. And it actually makes me feel calm and it makes me feel good that they're, that's the thing, like you're going to university and getting the most out of it, right?
Yeah.
Like John's into computers and science and math, and he's going into computer science at York next year. So
that's great.
And he's into it already. So he loves the, like that's awesome, right? I think that when I think about me when I was his age, it's like if I were to go to school, I'd have so many question marks of what to do. It's just nice to see something that's like, oh, specific, you know, this is where he wants to do.
So can he live at home?
Yeah, that's the best thing is we're just hop on the GO train.
Great.
And there's a stop there.
Crazy.
Yeah. He's actually at U of T today doing a tour. He wants to go to York, but he hasn't found out whether he got in at U of T, but he'll say no. Because he wants to go to York. I don't know. It seems like he wants to go to York. And that's easier.
When do they find out? In the next couple weeks?
Well, he already got into York. But I guess it changes. Every school is different that they get back. And I don't know. I don't know what the timeline is, right?
Crazy. He's in. So his marks must be good.
Yeah, man. Really good. I don't want to talk. You know, I feel weird talking about the kids if they ever listen. But mid to high 90s, man. He's crushing it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I know it's weird. You don't want to say things that are too personal about them, but also it's good to celebrate the W's, you know?
Well, yeah. And especially it's you got a advanced physics exams and or advanced math exams and getting 100% or 98% or 95%. It's just like, wow, it's so cool.
Banana City.
I look at the question and it's one of those on the chalkboard of calculus as well, but on the chalkboard of Good Will Hunting when it's just all those different little whatever.
Yeah.
Check marks and lines that go sideways where it's like the page just starts to open up and get bigger as opposed to one line. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I'm at the age where I don't remember or understand what they're doing in school either.
Especially math. You know me and math.
Yeah, except integers. I have those on lock. But also...
Oh, you like it? Yeah, you got your integers.
But you never need them. What is minus 8 you don't times need them. Minus 6?
When would you need them? If you're cutting wood or something? Where do the integers help?
To know the temperature? It's minus 5 out? I don't know.
See, that's how far out I am on it. I'm thinking it's some measurement of
You should see the electives that Shug has the opportunity to take next year. It's dance, strings, acting in French. There's, I don't know what they call it, tech ed or something, but it's cool. Engineering. Many cool opportunities.
Jack's at Lexus every afternoon for just doing a co-op program in grade 11.
Like the car place?
Yeah. He's doing oil changes.
No way.
Whatever. Yeah. He's thinking of, airline mechanic.
Heck yeah.
That's what he's thinking.
Wow, great
That's
job.
A good idea. Yeah.
So they'll let him do that at Lexus.
Oh yeah, if you notice, if you ever take your car into a dealer, it's always probably high school kids that are that are into learning, but it's easy stuff like oil changes or changing tires or I don't know, he's doing just stuff that you and I think is man, how hard, that sounds like $600 to me, right? But it takes 10 minutes and it's nothing. Little changes and change a filter, pull a thing out, boom, no sweat.
Yeah, and then Lexus is charging $180 per hour.
Yeah, they get a bill for $600.
because your kid's crushing it in there.
Just crushing it. But it's awesome. Love it. It's good stuff to see the kids busy.
Yeah, for sure. They're off to the races, man.
Let's take a break, bud.
Take a break, ski.
Yeah. I just wanted to put that song on.
Reminds me of The Trades. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but Rob Wells plays Ricky and Tom Green. And Enrico Colantoni, who's a great Canadian dramatic actor, and a bunch of folks from McMurray from Letterkenny are on a new show on Crave called The Trades. And I think there's a lot of, certainly in the trailer anyway, some Doug and the Slugs.
Oh, they're jamming it?
Yeah, they're jamming it.
It's nice to see Rob Wells back on the screen. He's always hilarious.
Really funny actor. Yeah. And but it's both a blessing and a curse. He's so embedded in the character of Ricky and so iconic as that character.
Yeah, it's tough to get out of, I guess. Just visually for us, not him.
Yeah, not for him.
He could be doing someone completely different in his mind, but we still see Ricky, right?
Well, yeah, and he has a very unique rhythm and cadence to the way that he speaks. So that's very much what we associate with Ricky and hard to shake. But the show kind of seems like Ricky as a, if he cleaned up his act.
Yeah, 20%. Which is still hilarious, like, because he's... It's that the just his no one does this his thing like him, man. That's the beauty of it, right? Like, that's his timing, and it's like, it's just him. And he somehow is able to translate that into acting, which you don't see that much, where it's like so much of the same person. It's kudos to him. It's kind of like, it reminds me of probably what John Candy vibes, you know what I mean? Like, where it's just like, it's still him a lot.
It's John Candy first and the character he's playing second.
Yeah, but it's just still John Candy and everyone loves that. Like, they never like... Yeah, it's just it's an interesting thing that he is, but he does it amazingly.
And people sort of lump him in with Danny McBride, which I can totally see. But when he says the dumbest thing with the straightest face.
Yeah.
Like, that is, I think, the intersection for Rob that is really funny. Like, he's so earnest as Ricky.
And how many times has he done that to us and just being himself as well, right?
Like, yeah.
He'll pull that rope too. Right? It's just stupid.
It's interesting if you watch clips from the first couple of years of the show. Bubbles is very different, but Ricky is exactly
the same. He is always the same.
He's always been that guy.
Definitely. So you want, I think we should revisit the what's dat game.
Okay, let's do it.
It was so fun last week, and everybody, I got a lot of comments from people that enjoyed it.
Oh, they liked it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you sent me a list of...
I did.
It's like 100 catchphrases from TV shows.
Yeah, so I figured instead of hit songs, let's try catchphrases with French in it. And I have to guess what the catchphrase is.
Yeah, great.
And I think it's going to be fun.
Okay, so I'm going to start with some kind of softballs.
Okay.
And I'll say them in the rhythm and cadence they were said on the shows. And I think just scanning this list, which I am not very familiar with, some of them are kind of characters, sayings that you might see on a t-shirt. Some of them are from some of them are from commercials.
Well, that's how catchphrases come to light, right? They come through a variety of media, right?
Yeah. But I want to make sure that it's shows that you would know, too. Okay, so here comes the first one. Ready?
Yeah.
I think you'll know this one right away. We'll start easy. Easy, Johnny.
Okay. Here's Johnny, the yeah. Ed McMahon classic. Yes, yeah. That's great.
Okay, that's Ed McMahon.
I kind of want to watch it already. Like
the French version of the Tonight
French,
Show?
French Ed McMahon.
Okay, I just need to look up one word while we're talking.
That's good. Just picture Ed on the couch.
You see Johnny. Okay, here comes another one. Okay. And this was more a news story, but certainly covered on TV.
C'est une petite étape pour un grand saut.
What?
Is it a lot of the leap for mankind yeah. line?
One small step for man, one big leap for mankind.
Do it again.
C'est un petit étape pour l'homme, un grand saut pour l'homme kind.
Like all of a sudden, it's a cat from Sherbrooke as well up there, and he just jumps in. He jumps ahead of him and says that.
Rock voisin astronaut.
Do him like getting like I want to get like butting in front of everybody to get to do the line.
Or there's a translator like, as it's happening like, on the news.
He's like falling out of the thing, so he doesn't even like, just so he could be the one saying it.
Real time translator is a fun game too. Oh,
no. It's one small step. Say un petit étape pour man pour l'homme, un grand saut pour l'homme.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
This is timely in terms of pop culture because of who said it. It's from a reality show. You ready?
Yeah.
Vous êtes licencié.
What?
Imagine a New York entitled accent. It's a reality show. Oh, vous êtes licencié.
Is that I'm walking here?
No, you're fired. Donald Trump from The Apprentice.
Oh, I thought you were like, I'm walking here.
Licencié is apparently fired. I looked it up on the thing. Oh. Didn't know that word at all. All right, so you're
That's
two for
tough.
Three.
Okay.
Here's a good one. You'll know this one. It's from a commercial. Où est le bœuf?
Where's the beef?
Yes. De qu'est-ce que vous parlez, Willis?
What?
De qu'est-ce que vous parlez, Willis?
What you talking about, yeah. Willis?
All right, see if you know this one in French. Do.
Say it again.
Do.
And then one more time.
Do.
Oh, Homer?
Yeah. Ne demande pas qu'est-ce que votre pays peut faire pour toi. Ne demande pas qu'est-ce que ton pays peut faire pour toi.
What's that?
It's a president said it in the 60s. Ne demande pas qu'est-ce que ton pays peut faire pour toi. Demande qu'est-ce que tu peux faire pour ton pays.
Was there nothing to fear but fear itself?
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Okay.
Okay, speed round here. These are three. You'll know these. Yabba dabba do.
Yabba dab. Yabba dabba do. Yeah.
Okay. A.
Fonzie.
Yeah. Dynamite.
Jimmy Walker.
Yeah. Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a good one. I just need to see how to say it in French. It might not even be an expression. You'll never get this. Bon sang, Lucy.
Oh yeah, that's Charlie Brown?
Yeah. Good grief.
Yeah.
Okay. One sec. Just using my trusty thing here. Okay. Descends. Vous êtes le prochain contestant sur Le Prix est Correct.
Is that like, come on down?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. L'aéroplane. L'aéroplane.
That's a tattoo?
Yeah.
From Fantasy Island?
Oh no, l'avion. It's l'avion. L'avion, l'avion. Oh. Some of these I don't even know.
I just picture like a Quebecois tattooed saying it. It's just so much more funny.
Yeah, some grease ball.
Yeah, he's got a dart in his mouth. He's yelling to the boss.
Movie reviewers used to say this if they liked a movie. Deux pouces en l'air. Deux pouces en l'air.
I don't know. What is that?
Je donne un pouce en l'air et moi, je ne, je aussi donne un pouce en l'air. Two thumbs up.
I don't know. No. No.
Siskel and Ebert.
Oh, but what? Just them as the thing or no catchphrase?
No,
just Siskel and Ebert. Oh, they're lying.
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. Oh, sorry.
They would give a review to a movie.
Thumbs. That's a tough one.
Pouce.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one from a 90s sitcom.
Okay.
Maybe one of the biggest 90s sitcoms. Comment ça va avec toi?
How are you doing?
Yeah. Who
is
said that?
That? The Family Ties tough guy, Rocky dude?
No. Comment ça va avec
name? Toi? How you doing?
Yeah.
That's the guy, the daughter's boyfriend?
Nope. Who are you thinking? Nick on Family Ties?
Yeah.
Mallory's boyfriend.
Oh, no, how
Nick?
You doing is the Friends guy. That's right.
Yeah, Joey.
That's right. I was going the original How You Doing.
This one doesn't really translate to French, but see if you can guess who it is.
Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah. Schwing.
Oh, Wayne's World.
Yeah, that's not French.
That's not French.
Bonsoir, John Boy.
Oh, what is that, like Little House on the Prairie?
Close.
Oh, Bonanza?
There was a Canadian band from Saskatchewan with the same name.
Acoustic. The Waltons.
Yeah.
The Waltons, yeah.
I loved the Waltons.
Did you?
The band, not the TV show.
Yeah. I love the band, too. Yeah, not the TV show.
Band is great. Marsha, 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 you know what that is.
Yeah.
Brady Bunch. Okay. We're at 80 of 100.
Yeah, I think we're good now, right? Unless there's like some really score ones you can see.
Oh, okay. Here's a good one. Oui, oui, c'est ça le billet. Oui, oui, c'est ça le billet.
Oh, the last part's blown me up. Yes, yes.
SNL.
Oh, the liar guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's
oui.
It.
Yeah, yeah. Oui, c'est ça.
John Lovitz.
C'est ça le billet.
John Lovitz.
Yeah, what's billet?
That's it.
Oui, c'est ça le billet.
What is it?
Ticket.
The ticket.
That's the ticket. Okay, right. Last one. Right. Ready?
Yeah.
Je suis Larry, c'est mon frère Daryl, puis mon autre frère Daryl.
Oh, man. This is my brother Daryl, my other
yes.
brother Daryl, and my other brother Daryl?
Yes. This is what I...
Newhart. Newhart. Classic.
Okay, here's a category that I don't think we've ever talked about.
Okay.
Something that people universally love that you're like, I'm sorry, I just don't get it.
Okay.
I would say the Newhart show is on that list for me. Like, I've tried, I just don't get it.
I used to really like it.
Why?
And watched, I don't know, but I liked it. I thought it was funny. But it was like, kind of like MASH, right? Like, you probably didn't like MASH either.
I would say I liked MASH. I certainly liked the MASH theme song. I liked Alan Alda.
But the show itself, did you watch it?
Yeah, I would gauge it as like,
But not Newhart. You couldn't do it.
No.
I think I like the Bob Newhart's humor, the really dry, because he just, like, he never cracks a smile, but he really says funny stuff. Like, have you ever heard his, like, bits on the phone and stuff?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. He creates these, like, ridiculous situations that are really funny. But you got to kind of hang in there.
There was a rumor about Golden Girls reboot on Netflix.
Oh, please don't.
It's not happening.
Good. I'm sick of the reboots. Like, do we really need another Ghostbusters movie? Or is this just like, whoever, was it Reitman's kid? Whoever has the original production, the actual Ghostbusters. Whoever owns that just keeps rehashing it to cash in. And it's like, getting out of hand with movies that are like that. Like, actually, they're remaking bad movies now. Like, really? Movies that weren't great the first time, we're seeing like 3-4 versions of them. Are they gonna make another Good Burger? Like, is that gonna be a movie that made a part two, didn't they? Like, Con Air, are they gonna bring that back?
This is why I think it's out of control.
Yeah.
I think because if you're an executive and everything is performance based and you have less money to take less risks and you have to deliver more sure things, you're making decisions based on a couple of things. One is, I want to be able to measure the risk. So, for example, rolling the dice on a show with Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, even if it doesn't work, that was a pretty safe bet given their track records.
Yeah.
So they're either using recognizable names or proven concepts.
I know, but like Roadhouse, like, it's, you know, it's awful. You don't have to see it.
Yeah.
Like, it just so obvious that some of these things are just thrown together in 6 months just to kind of put it out there. I don't know.
I know, but if you're like, well, Ghostbusters worked once, it'll work again for sure. I don't know, man.
10 times? Now is it 10 times? How many were there? There was a Ghostbusters 2. Was there a Ghostbusters 3?
I don't know.
Or did they just start doing remakes at that point?
I don't know. Can you think of a sequel that was better than the original?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But generally, no. But generally, there's no reason to do another one.
Generally. Time Magazine put out an article about 35 sequels that are better than the original. Mission Impossible, Paddington 2.
Yeah, Paddington 2, I would say, is probably better than the original.
Wait. Wait.
That's a great movie, man.
You watched both Paddingtons?
Well, I watched the first one because the second one was so good, but the first one wasn't that good.
How did you find yourself watching the second Paddington?
Because I heard it's a great movie. And then I was like, holy shit, this movie's got it all. It's kind of like one of those Ghibli, the Japanese company that makes like Ponyo and all those amazing animated films, the Ghost one. Like, those movies are so great. Just great. Beautifully written, and it's just fun to watch movies like that that are actually, the story's fantastic.
I like that.
Yeah.
Have you not seen Paddington 2? No, I haven't seen either Paddington.
See, that's one where you can rock with the whole house, and you're gonna get two thumbs up for sure. You're gonna do it. Do it. Do it over the holiday.
All right.
Yeah.
Sneaky Easter watch.
Come back and tell me. And believe me, like, it's one of the best movies, man. It's great.
Wow. I have homework. All right. Here's a surprising one. Toy Story 3.
Yeah, that's a good one. But all of them seem are pretty good. But yeah, that is a good one. Those ones are kind of like, I don't know. That's like, also, if you put great writers together, with that's a good idea for a good movie, right? Yeah.
It says that Toy Story 3 is especially good because it's 15 years after the original, and the audience is now, like, the original audience is now going off to school, like the character in the movie, and it'll kind of ring the bell emotionally for anyone who kind of set a toy aside as they grew up.
Yeah, which is everybody.
Silence of the Lambs was apparently a sequel to 1986's Manhunter.
Well, come on. That's crazy. That's obviously better.
Superman 2, Star Trek 2.
Yeah, those movies are okay at best anyway. Like, it's same thing with Ghostbusters. Like, is it really a fantastic movie, Ghostbusters? Is it?
No.
I don't think it is at all. It's like an okay movie.
Yeah.
That just keeps getting made over and over and over. Big, like, E.T. movie. Was a great movie. E.T. was great. So, like, a great movie should be, have such a good ending that there's no point in thinking of another one, right? Where it's like, it's impossible.
I don't think there wasn't an E.T. 2, was there?
I don't know. It made so much money, probably thought 100 different ways to think one up, but I don't think one ever came to light. Like Indiana Jones, it makes sense to continue. They probably had that in mind, the first one, right? Like, let's make a movie that is an adventure that could easily be another one.
But that's okay, because they just have another adventure.
Well, that's like Mission Impossible, right? Those to me aren't like amazingly fantastic movies, like compared to, you know, I don't know, The Godfather, but like it's fun to watch and it's well acted.
Yeah.
So like if what's cool about a movie is the action sequences, then obviously they could all be great.
Yeah, Mission Impossible.
James Bond movies were because of the action, and that's why they could keep on making them.
People like that formula. What is the John Krasinski one?
Jack Reacher?
Yeah.
Which is all right. It's all right. I've seen a few episodes. He's not in it anymore. There's a new guy doing that.
There's a new reach around.
Yeah, there's a new reach around out there.
What was your favorite movie as a kid?
Favorite movie as a kid? Well, I think a movie that affected me as a kid, because it was probably, I shouldn't have watched it the first time I saw it, was Midnight Cowboy.
Whoa.
Because I saw it, like, I don't know, I was like 10 or 11 or something. I was like, so it's kind of adult for kids, but I was, the story itself is pretty amazing and great acting in it, even though, I mean, trying to think, like, it was a 1969 or something like that. Like, it's got that classic 60s vibe with the psychedelics and the weird scenes in it and stuff.
Like, you probably saw it at a drive-in?
No, a Laserdisc, one of those. Like, whoa. Getting the renting the Laserdiscs for the weekend vibes.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like a movie my parents rented, but I watched it probably like the next day with Jed or whatever.
We didn't have a VCR or a laser disc player.
You didn't have the video station? Remember that place? That store? The video station?
No.
It was the original Blockbuster back in the day.
We had Jumbo Video where they had free popcorn.
Yeah, but Jumbo Video rented the players, all that stuff. I used to rent Nintendo systems for the weekend from Jumbo Video.
See, I was in high school and beyond by the time Jumbo Video was around. So I have great gaps in my film.
So you have knowledge. you have no like you don't remember, I guess in PEI there was no video rental place in the 80s?
I'm sure there was, we just never did.
Rented the stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
That was like the biggest form of entertainment for me as a kid was laser discs. That, you know, maybe two or three times a year.
Like, how big is a laser disc?
It's like a vinyl album. That's how big they were. Right. And they were perfect.
And did you guys have a player, or you would rent a player too?
Like, they should have kept going with it, because you didn't have to rewind or anything. It could go anywhere at any time. The picture was perfect. It was a CD. It was basically a CD. And then they dumped it just because it didn't sell, I guess. And it was cool because the movie discs were huge. So there was a whole other element that they could have added to the medium.
Were they $3,500?
They were like $20 to rent for the weekend or whatever, right? Like, it's not expensive. No, just a little more than renting a movie.
So you'd rent Grease 2 and watch it 6 times?
Yeah, you'd rent like the Laserdisc player and like 4 or 5 Laserdiscs for $2 each or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
It was no different than movies. But yeah, same thing, but we would rent the VCR too if we watched VHS.
See, there's something so wholesome about that.
I know VCRs back then, they were like $1,200 back in the 80s though, right? Like, nobody had that kind of dough.
Yeah. I also remember the first remote control we got was wired to the TV.
And yeah. Or the one with all the buttons on it. Remember that one? The long clicker one?
Yeah. And a button would get jammed down in.
And that's it. Yeah. But so then they had they had the button on the side that would like fix any indented buttons. I remember that too. If the math would stay.
I don't remember that. I just remember, like, if the 3 wouldn't work, you'd have to put in 0, 2 and then use the up arrow to get to 3. See? Genius. You had to be creative.
And then they had the big chunky ones, the original remotes that were all heavy with the two lights, the two red lights at the end.
Two handers. You couldn't single hand bomb those.
No, it was a double clicker hander.
I wouldn't mind getting like a Vic 20, playing some Gorf for old time's sake.
Playing some old Chris Chopin or some, those games that were on there.
Yeah.
They had the worst Pong.
I wonder if there's a Vic 20 that still works out in the world.
I'm sure. For sure.
Well, there's my afternoon sorted, bud. I'm going on Kijiji for a Vic 20.
Well, have a great weekend, bud, and everybody out there.